Hello and welcome to the new series of blog posts from All Business Networking. And you can hear it in audio. I'm very excited to be doing this. So since we last posted, our network has grown, I'm pleased to say, and we have welcomed business partners from a wide variety of sectors. Now, I want to make sure that our posts are equally relevant to all of our members, that they provide value and ultimately help you make the most of your All membership and, of course, your bottom line. So let's look at the common ground. We are all business owners, entrepreneurs, or managers charged with the responsibility of promoting our business to prospective customers. Try saying that very late at night. Now, that's possibly why you joined All Business Networking in the first place. So, I've taken that shared interest and, armed with the indisputable fact that we are all human beings and not robots, at least I hope not, I've combined my lifelong obsession with psychology and the human brain with my million years of marketing experience to produce the definitive guide to marketing your product or service to your customers whilst taking advantage of the very best in cutting-edge neuroscience research. But that is a bit of a mouthful, so I'm going to call it neuromarketing, using science to sell. Now, let's look at your client's brain, and yours for that matter. Your client's brain is emotional, and in part logical, and in part a data storage device laced with lashings of prejudice. Now, before you stand up on a table to pronounce you are not prejudiced, consider what prejudice is. If you think you will like something over something else, then you have prejudged prejudice that the original something is better, meaning, of course, that the secondary something is of lesser value. This works with people too. Place yourself in the following scenario. Two people come into your office and want to do business with you. Person A smells wonderful, is physically attractive and is dressed smartly. They smile and offer you their hand to shake. Person B is dressed in dirty jeans and a t-shirt, is visibly overweight, and they wipe the sweat from their hand just to offer it for you to shake. You can only shake one person's hand, and that's the one you will consider doing business with. You have 3 seconds from now. I will count you down to make your mind up of which one you are going to go with. 3, 2, 1. Now, no matter which person you chose, I'm betting you had an opinion, initial opinion, of both of these people without even knowing them. In reality, you may shake both hands, but you will also have an early opinion of both people. I know I would. So you can say to be prejudiced is to be human. So, how does this relate to marketing? Well, you have a product or you provide a specialized service, and your business survival depends upon your ability to convince your ideal customer that they should part with their hard-earned money to purchase what it is that you have to offer. The decision your customers make is an emotional one. That is not to say there's no logic or reasoning involved, but according to Professor Stephen Peters and leading neuroscientists, the emotional part of your brain is always, always in capitals, always the first to react. Once your emotional brain has formed an opinion and made a decision, it looks to the logical side to support the decision that has already been made. Consider what happens when you receive a cold sales call. We have all received those in the past and all have our own opinions on cold sales calls. So your mobile phone rings, up on the display as a message saying, possible spam caller. What is your initial thought? For me, it's something like, expletive, expletive, kindly leave me alone. Now, initially, your cognitive process is, A, I automatically don't like this call coming through to me. That's the emotional part of your brain. B, I'm going to tell him stroke her to go away. That's your logical part, and there's your action. C, I am checking my memory for other annoying sales calls to strengthen my resolve. That's the data storage part, influenced by the emotion, again. So, you have developed an opinion on the caller before you've even picked up the phone. Important question here, though, are you that cold caller? What separates you from that cold caller? Take a moment to think about that. What is it? What does actually separate you from that cold caller? Well, you have at least one thing in common with that caller. You want to sell something to someone and receive money for doing so. The more you sell, the more money you make. Oh, and of course, you're offering what you see as valuable service and well worth the money you are asking in return. I'm only talking about business genuine cold callers here, of course. Not the spammers who offer you gold bullion, 50 free lines on the lottery in exchange for your account details. Who could refuse? In my free time, I delight in wasting their time by pretending to go along with their scams, then publishing the results. So, what separates you from that cold caller? Well, much in the same way as you wouldn't approach an attractive stranger in the street, get down on one knee, declare undying love, propose and then suggest possible baby names, at least I hope you wouldn't. You wouldn't expect someone to part with their hard-earned money without first establishing and developing a relationship with you. Cold sales callers are often disliked because you have not chosen to speak with them. They have contacted you and metaphorically proposed marriage with no genuine interest in setting up and maintaining any sort of real relationship between you and them. So it's very important to develop real relationships, and actually not just with your customers. When I first started out in business, I had the idea that I should do everything myself, either because I couldn't find anyone else, trust anyone else, or simply because I didn't have the money to hire another skilled worker. I built up a relatively successful marketing company. The larger we, by we I mean I, grew, the more skills I had to learn and the more hours I spent at work. I was simultaneously, a copywriter, a content writer, a marketer, an author, a salesperson, a search engine optimization practitioner, a media buyer, a script writer, an artistic and commercial director, a project supervisor, a bookkeeper, and a leaflet deliverer when the distribution staff didn't turn in, which did sometimes happen. This was on a daily basis. I was also a single father, so I had two children that I want to spend time with and be there for. They're going off to university next year, so I'm so pleased I did actually manage to spend time with them in their formative years. But I had all of those parental responsibilities as well. As you can imagine, there were simply not enough hours in the day. It got to a stage where I couldn't remember what excited me about this business in the first place. And in the end, I lost the business and had a complete emotional, mental breakdown. Not long before the business went under, I met with Duncan Bannatyne. You may recognise the name from Dragon's Den, who I greatly admired, and I was very lucky to sort of meet and go out and have dinner with him. One piece of advice he gave me, which he's put in a few of his books actually, it stuck with me, and that was to work smarter and not harder. He explained that there was a ceiling in what one person can achieve on their own, and that was delegation. Delegation was the key. It was only after my business breakdown and a loss of nearly £84,000 I was finally ready to listen. I realised that people and businesses grow stronger together. I also realised that it's completely fine not to be the world's leading expert in every area. By undertaking tasks that I hate on my own, I am in fact depriving someone who loves that task from gainful employment and a meaningful business relationship. By sharing the responsibility, I'm also inviting others to share in the success of my achievements. I've always been the type of person who will always try and help another, be it business or personal. And by changing my mindset and inviting people in, I now have people around me that I can call upon if I need help and advice. Which brings me nicely on to business networking groups. My advice here is find a good business networking community. As one of the co-owners of All Business Networking in the Northeast, I feel privileged to witness what happens when like-minded business professionals come together. By regularly turning up week after week, members develop a rapport and a unique relationship with one another. They become involved in and have a vested interest in seeing and helping each other succeed. Our members do pass referrals, but more than that, they understand what the power of a strong business relationship can do. And they're always there to offer advice and help in any way that they can. Business networking, to succeed at it, remember it's not a quick game. It's not a hire me now and here's my business card. turn up once and then just accept back loads of calls. If you really want to succeed at business networking, you must be willing to develop those relationships and to help others. In essence, become part of a strong, active business community. You can only do that by turning up week after week and developing those relationships. Remember, it's about developing relationships. I would strongly advise researching and becoming part of the right business networking group, or at least don't live and operate in a bubble. Once I broke out and started communicating with like-minded professionals, my quality of life increased, and I could spend more time doing what I loved, not to mention being the father I always wanted to be. If you're wanting to connect with clients or businesses in the Northeast, then you can contact OWE, that's AWE, Business Networking. And there is a link for that in the written part of the blog. Not just the Northeast, in fact, we have an online group which connects all of the UK and indeed the world. We have America, Australia, France, and a couple of others, I think. It's wonderful. Right, so thank you for reading. If you'd like to subscribe to our VIP list for news and special offers, please fill in the short form on the written part of the blog. And I shall speak with you next week.